Good evening, and once again, we give you a hearty welcome. Yesterday, we went to the Current, and we were emotionally drained to see the awful devastation caused by Hurricane Andrew. But when we got to the chapel, we were spiritually elevated to see how lovely the chapel is with its painting and pews and what have you. But also to hear the saints singing a hymn that we worked at some years ago. Lily of the valley, he is mine. Lily of the valley, I am his. We thank the Lord for these times of spiritual elevation when sometimes we are down. Now shall we turn again, please, to the Gospel by John. Tonight we shall read in chapter 5. I'm reading verse 1. After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time, in that case he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. For the same day was the Sabbath, and the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Down please to verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word, and believeth in him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So once again the Lord will bless this lovely reading from his precious word. Once again, we continue to look with you at the miracles in the Gospel by John. For those not with us in past nights, we selected a key verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the presence of you all. Once again, the Holy Spirit doesn't use language for the sake of variety. There is a difference between a miracle, a wonder, and a sign. Once again, the miracle is that superlative power of the Lord Jesus Christ in display. The wonder is that awe, the effect that the miracle had on those that saw the miracle. The wonder. But the sign is the spiritual significance. That's the word used in the Revised Version, changing the word miracle to the word sign. We mentioned that the number of miracles performed by the Lord Jesus were innumerable. But John makes a special selection of 8. 7 before his death and 1 after his resurrection. We've been drawing alongside each miracle one of the Lord's divine titles. Again, there was a selection. We also saw there was a sequence. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and it manifests forth his glory. Then we read, and the second miracle was the healing of the nobleman's son, again at Cana of Galilee. They're running in chronological order. The first miracle was the turning of the water into wine. We use the Lord's divine title there, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The last verse in the book of Ezekiel, and in the margin are the words, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. What a privilege and a blessing it was for that young couple to have the Lord at that wedding in Cana of Galilee. On our second study, we looked at the healing of the nobleman's son who came all the way from Capernaum to Cana of Galilee, appealing to the Lord Jesus, come down ere my child die. The Lord says, go, thy son liveth. And we saw that there was a double miracle. There was a physical as well as a spiritual healing. The boy was healed and the whole family were brought into the kingdom of God. They all believed in the Lord Jesus. And we used the divine title there, Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that healeth thee, based on Psalm 103. Tonight in this chapter 5 of the Gospel by John, we have the third miracle or the third sign. Alongside this miracle or sign, we will draw the Lord's divine title, Jehovah said, can you? In verse, the Lord said to the man, go and sin no more. Jehovah said, can you? The Lord our righteousness. In Jeremiah 33 verse 16 we read, when the king shall reign, Judah shall be saved, Jerusalem shall rest in peace, and the name wherewith she shall be called is the Lord our righteousness. And in the margin of your Bible, in Jeremiah 33, you'll find those words, Jehovah said, can you? The Lord our righteousness, go and sin no more. In this chapter that we have read, let me first all introduce you to human limitation. Human limitation. Secondly, the divine intervention. And thirdly, the spiritual calculation. And finally, we have the eternal consolation in verse 24. As time permits, let's look at these tonight. First of all, the human limitation. The location has changed now from Cana of Galilee to Jerusalem. So here we have the great metropolis. And then in the same section, we have the great multitude. In verse 3, in these lay a great multitude. The great metropolis, the great multitude, the great misery, and the great meeting of the man with the Lord Jesus. The great metropolis, Jerusalem. Here was the center of religious activity. It says that there was a sheep, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And it was right beside the sheep gate. Morning and evening the sheep went through the sheep gate, in ritual and in ceremony, that could not help this man in his need. Today, there is much confusion with religion. There are more wars in the world today over religion than any other thing. This man discovered that the sheep going through the sheep gate, morning and evening for 38 years, could not help him. He discovered there was one who could help. And so remember the writer to the Hebrew says, Every priest standeth daily offering oft-times the same sacrifices that could never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in the heaven. Jerusalem, the divine center, ritual and ceremony, and there was still a void in his heart. You remember the man from Ethiopia in Acts chapter 8 came 1500 miles to Jerusalem to worship. But like this man here, he never found what he was looking for in the religious system of Judaism. By going down the Gaza Strip, Philip the evangelist drew near and opened up the scripture at Isaiah 53. And beginning at the same scripture, he preached unto him Jesus, the great metropolis. And the man was helpless. The situation was hopeless. Human limitation. Waiting, having five porches. Waiting on the moving of the water. Bethesda means waiting. There are those today and they're waiting for experiences. Waiting for some religious experience. And they are missing the mark. Because the true source of blessing is to wait upon God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. The great metropolis. But notice in verse 3, the great multitude. There was five porches there at Bethesda. Five porches. This seems to exemplify what this man was going through. There was disease, number one. There was despondency, number two. There was difficulty, number three. There was despair, number four. And finally, there was defeat. What is the use? 38 years. Five portions. Five in the Bible is the number of human limitation. But thank God there was one who could help him, as we shall see. The great multitude. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, and withered. Does this not reveal, friends, what has been the outcome of sin? People today are blind. They have no sight. They cannot see the beauties of the Lord Jesus. They are blind. The God of this age hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Blind to the beauties of the Lord Jesus. That is the condition of men and women who are not saved. Blind. And then says the scripture here, halt. No sight, no stability. Halt. And Paul reminds the saints at Ephesus that they walked according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. No stability. Walking according to the course of this world. And there's no stability out there. No stability. No sight. No stability. And they were withered. No strength. That again is depicted by Paul to the Romans. When ye were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He is the answer to blindness, to instability, and no strength. A great multitude. And in verse 4 we have the great misery. For an angel went down as a serpent season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole. Once a year, an angel came down to move those waters, and the first person in was made whole. You see, under the law, the day of salvation was unknown. Once a year. But today, how gratifying to know that the day of salvation is known. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Every moment of the day, every day of the year, God's salvation is available to those who put their trust in Him. Great misery. But oh, let's go quickly to the great meeting. Certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. We've seen the human limitation, now we have the divine intervention. 38 years. And notice, friend, it says that Jesus knew that he had been there. This man was at the pool of Bethesda before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. 38 years. But here again is the emphasis on the sovereignty, on the deity, on the omniscience of the Lord Jesus. He knows everything. He knows in this gathering tonight whether you are saved or not saved. All things are stripped naked and bare before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He is the omnipotent, He is the omniscient, and He is the omnipresent Lord. He's here tonight with His healing touch spiritually to those who are not saved. And Jesus knew that He had been there a long time. What a meeting! Sin put this man on his back. But the Savior put him on his feet. Sin made this man sad, but the Lord Jesus made him glad. The law said to this man, work. The Lord Jesus Christ says, faith. We cannot work our way to heaven. That's what religion says. Give to the church, give to the good cause, and all will be left, will be well. Not so. The Bible says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul says, to him that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith shall be counted for righteousness. And that was a tremendous meeting. I wonder, friend, have you met the Savior? Many, many years ago, there was an English lad swimming in a Scottish lake, what they call Lochs. He got into difficulty, and he cried for help. Ploughing nearby was a farm boy. He heard the distress of the English lad on vacation. He jumped into the lake, rescued the English lad. The English lad, his father was overwhelmed, and he says to this farm boy, have you any objective in life, my boy? He said, yes, I wanted to be a doctor, but I don't have the wherewithal. The Englishman gentleman says, that's no problem. I'll make sure that you'll get the resources to become a doctor. The English lad that was rescued from drowning was Winston Spencer Churchill. The farm boy went to college, graduated, and became an outstanding doctor. Some years later, Winston Churchill was at Yalta with Roosevelt and Joseph Stalin, and he became seriously ill during World War II. A Royal Air Force plane was commandeered, and they took out to Winston Churchill penicillin that was discovered by the old farm boy, Sir James Fleming. Twice in his lifetime, Winston Churchill owed his life to this ex-farm boy, who became Sir James Fleming. Churchill came back to London, cured of the problem. And they say that the meeting in London was overwhelming. But I tell you, friend, there's nothing like the meeting between the sinner and the Lord Jesus. Love so amazing, so divine, that man's my heart, my life, my all. What a meeting. Nothing counts in this world apart from the meeting of the sinner with the Savior. The Lord Jesus is a master at the display of love. Notice his sensitive approach. He said to the man in verse 6, "Wilt thou?" Bebedo. Five times in this chapter, there's a reference to being made whole. Wilt thou be made whole? A sensitive approach. And that is typical of the Lord Jesus. He knocks patiently at the heart's door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into and sup with him and he with me. He doesn't railroad things through. In the power of his Godhood, he only can appeal on the principle of love. Suffer little children to come unto me, the sensitive approach. And the great day of the feast, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his inwards will flow rivers of living water. This is gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Wilt thou? Tonight that overture of love goes out to the unsaved on Spanish Wells, and he's saying tonight, wilt thou? Heaven is not filled with conscripts that all volunteer. Here am I, willing to come at the bidding of the Lord Jesus, the sensitive approach. We have the swift appeal. Take up thy bed and walk. The sweet appeal, rather, take up thy bed and walk. And notice the swift action, the sensitive approach, wilt thou? The sweet appeal, take up thy bed and walk. And the swift action, immediately. Immediately. The man was made. The moment we come to the Lord Jesus, confess our sin, and accept him as a personal Savior, the spiritual transaction is immediate. Is immediate. The moment we put our trust in him, immediately we pass from death unto life. Immediately, it's a change of direction, no longer going down to the pit, but going to the palace. The work is immediate. And we're so thankful to the Lord when we pass from death unto life. I mentioned the other night that my brother was killed in an accident down in Tennessee. In the morning, we buried the blessed dead. I came back to Reedville, North Carolina, and preaching the gospel that night, a student, a boy called Jason, said, "Sir, I have to talk to you." And I sat down with him, opened up the scripture, and he put his trust in the Lord Jesus. And I took him to that verse 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth in him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. I says, Jason, when did you pass from death into life? He says, right now. Is passed. An immediate transaction that only God can do. Human limitation. We are absolutely helpless. Thank God for divine intervention. The Lord came to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind, to liberate the captive, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now quickly to the spiritual calculation. These religious Pharisees were not too happy at what happened to the man. Legalism is ever repugnant in the nostrils of a holy God. The enforcement of the law. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed, they said, on the Sabbath day. How cold, calculated, is legalism? You'd think they were rejoiced to see a man who'd been 38 years in bondage. By the pool of Bethesda, you'd think they'd be happy to see him relieved, but not them. That's how cruel religion is, and we've heard about the recent transaction in the Soviet Union. The religious system, the Orthodox Church, wants to eliminate any influence by real Christians. A miserable system. The Lord Jesus Christ has an answer for them. Notice this spiritual calculation. It was a Christ-centered life. In verse 11, he that made me whole. The moment we put our trust in the Lord Jesus, our souls are cleansed. But it ought to be, from there on, a Christ-centered life. We are bought with a price which is not our own. And our whole life should be geared to satisfying him. Paul says that I may know him. But Paul, you've got to know him on the Damascus Road. But he wanted to know more about Jesus, as we sang the other night. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. And dear saints, out of gratitude, you and I, we should gravitate to him and to this precious book. A Christ-centered life. Not I, but Christ. John the Baptist, he must increase, I must decrease. The Christ-centered life. May he ever be our objective until he comes. It was also not only a Christ-centered life. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and the same day was the Sabbath, and so on. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Not only a Christ-centered life, but it was a Christ-controlled life. He said unto me. So, beloved friends, we see three things about this man. First of all, we see him walking. The same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. We see him walking. And we see him witnessing in verse 15. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus. And I believe in verse 14, we see him witnessing. Behold, and afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. He's no longer outside by the sheep gate, by the pool of Bethesda. You see, his walk was right. and his witnessing was right, and his worshiping was right. And that ought to characterize you and me as the people of God. Our walk should be different. And when people tell me they're saved, and they go in for the old sins, and the old associates, I put a question mark. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away and all things become new. Oh, we make our mistakes, we fail. But there is in us the Spirit of God that would have us to be gravitated to Him and to the things of Him. Paul wrote, you remember, to the Ephesians, and he was stressing the walk, the walk, the walk. Oh, that you and I might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. To walk circumspectly. And if we walk the walk, instead of talking the talk, our friends and relatives and neighbors will be influenced. My daughter just called tonight, came back from the current, elevated, rejoicing with the saints down there. And my little grandson said to her daughter, I want to be a preacher like Dad. Like Papa. So she says, Dad, that's a great objective. I says, that is wonderful. To be an influence to our children and our grandchildren is absolutely imperative. Walk. And his witnessing was right. And surely the Lord has done so much for us. We should be up day by day. And our worship challenges you and me tonight, this too, in remembrance of me. A Christ-centered life, a Christ-centered life, a Christ-controlled life, but finally, a Christ-censored life. The Lord said to the man, go and sin no more. So it was obvious that it was his sin and the outcome of his sin that had this physical condition that had him by the pool of the dead. Go and sin no more. So Jehovah said, can you? The Lord, I'll write to you. And truly, beloved, we could write over this John chapter 5 and the third sign, those words, what the law could not do. In that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He wants us to be holy, holy brethren, to walk worthy of the Lord unto all people. Many years ago, it was our privilege to be in Dundee, Scotland. We went to a memorial church. Just a memorial church building now, a memorial to Robert Murray McShane, great Scottish revivalist and evangelist. Brethren and sisters, in the days of those Scottish revivals, Robert Murray McShane's church group had 39 prayer meetings going on every week, and 5 including children. No wonder Scotland was rocked with revival. And he wrote those priceless words, I once was a stranger to grace unto God, and you know my danger, I felt not my Lord. When friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah said, can you? Meant nothing to me. I oft read with pleasure to soothe and engage Isaiah's wild measure and John's simple faith. But even when they picture the blood-sprinkled tree, Jehovah said, can you? Meant nothing to me. Like tears from the daughters of Zion that roll, I wept when the waters passed over his soul, yet thought not my sins had nailed to the tree. Jehovah said, can you? Was nothing to me. But free grace awoke me from light with light from on high. And guilty fears gripped me, I trembled to God. No refuge in safety in self could I see. Jehovah said, can you? My Savior must be. My terrors all vanished before that sweet name. My guilty fears vanished and boldly I came to drink at the fountain, life given and free. Jehovah said, can you? Is all things to me. Oh, that we would get into that condition, beloved. Jehovah said, can you? The Lord, our righteousness. In the will of the Lord, we'll look again at the eternal consolation when he comes, or before he comes rather, and in anticipation of his coming, shall we pray. Loving Father, we thank thee again for giving us the luxury of being back in this building, and this the day of thy rejection with thy dear children that love him. We thank thee, Father, for the family of God. We thank thee for those who are members of the royal family, children of a king. But oh, Father, our hearts ache tonight for the unsaved on the island, relatives and friends, neighbors, still without Christ. Lord, bring them to thyself, we pray, and make the building complete, the structure finish the last stone to the building, and we'll hear his words. Rise up, my love, and come away. We long for the day, Lord, but only in the light of seeing all our loved ones brought to Christ. Take care of thy word, we pray, in the Savior's name.